The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day. Here comes Tuesday.
It is Michael Savage in for himself. Any normal person would have been off today after the dental surgery on Friday, but I'm not a normal person. I'm Michael Savage. Now, try to keep this in mind. Donald Trump is surging in the polls. It's a neck-to-neck race, and I'm not so sure he's finished. I see signs in areas that are not normally... let's say people don't look at all the areas I look at. I'll give you an example. There's an obscure sailing magazine here in the San Francisco area called Latitude 38. I haven't read it in years. I picked one up at a boat store. It's a giveaway. And they have a section where sailors go around the world and write their little reports of what's going on where they're sailing. And you kind of read it, and you daydream that you're on that trip, because sailing is a great adventure. And everyone at some point in their life dreams of getting away from it all, and these people do. And crossing an ocean in a sailboat is a major, major deal, even in this day and age. With all of the advanced technology, it's still a major league heroic effort. So this is a very liberal Bay Area thing. It's a very liberal magazine, I would guess. Most of them are very liberal. But the thing about most ocean sailors is they're probably more libertarian than liberal. They're extremely rugged individualists. And I see an article about a guy whose head was cut off on one of his trips, and I couldn't believe it. And they're talking about Sharia law in here. They went to an area where there is fundamentalist Islam, and it's in Indonesia, and it says, in this month's changes from Tom Van Dyke of his boat and point, it was noted that semi-autonomous Banda Aceh, known for fundamental Islam, is the only province in Indonesia that is allowed to use Sharia law. Sharia prohibits things such as homosexuality, adultery, alcohol, women straddling motorcycles, and so forth. Initially, Sharia was only applied to members of the Muslim faith. But a bylaw was passed last year that allows Sharia to be enforced on members of all faith. So just like in America, with the Council on American Islamic Retrobates, they're telling us that they're never going to, you know, impose it on anyone else. Remember what they really want to do. They want to cut your head off. They want to turn you into one of their robotic 15th century prisoners. So I'll go on of what happened to this poor sailor. He was kidnapped by these in the southern Philippines. Another one was killed. Now here's another in Indonesia. And they quote, now, the fact is that Muslims in Aceh do tolerate religious freedom, said the official press release from the Muslims who took over. We coexist without any problems, said Tengu Faisal Ali, head of the provincial chapter of the influential Muslim organization at the time the bylaw was passed. He went on with his lie. He said, we don't want to raise the impression that Islamic law in Aceh fringes on the rights of non-Muslims. It doesn't force Sharia law on non-Muslims, because they're free to observe their own faiths and beliefs. Close quote. So then the Liberal Sailing magazine entry says, oh yeah, on April 13th, a 60-year-old Christian woman was caned 30 times before hundreds of Muslim onlookers for the, quote, crime of selling alcohol in that town. It was the first time that Sharia law had been imposed on a non-Muslim in Indonesia. Then they go on. On the same day she was caned, the Muslim couple accused of adultery received 100 lashes. Two Germans caught wearing skimpy bathing suits got away with stern warnings. And then it goes on. And they talk about people being beheaded as a result of falling into the hands of the Muslims in these throwback quarters of the earth. So when you hear from people in America who tell you that Sharia law is not dangerous, understand it's very dangerous. And now that leads us to what I'm getting at, which is that if I'm seeing such a report about the dangers of Muslims and Sharia law in Indonesia in a liberal sailing magazine, I have a feeling that all is not lost to defeat the corrupt criminal Hillary Clinton who belongs in prison. And let me tell you something else. Any rational person understands that her health should be assessed by an impartial panel of physicians, and so should Donald Trump's health, by the way. Everyone running for the presidency in the final stretch should be subjected to an impartial panel of physicians, where a full battery of tests are released to the public. I don't want to hear any nonsense about, well, we can't release it because of privacy concerns. That's some nonsense. We don't want a sick person in the White House. We don't want a drug addict in the White House. And we have a right to know who we're electing. So I believe, and I'm not alone, that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump must be assessed by an impartial panel of physicians. And I'm not alone on this. There is a doctor with the highest of credentials, top doctor, Rutgers University professor of medicine, Bob Lahida, says that concerns over Hillary Clinton's health are not a conspiracy theory, that Clinton should be assessed by an impartial panel of physicians. He is very worried. He said suffering two blood clots, a stroke, and post-concussive syndrome, causing Hillary to have to wear special prism glasses. Do you understand that if she gets sick in office, who's going to run the country? It will be Bill Clinton. Do you understand this could be a stealth campaign by Bill Clinton to be president again, to get around the restrictions on no more than two terms? Do you get this? Now, if you want someone who's running a RICO organization, because Giuliani, I don't know of anyone listening to this show who wouldn't agree with this statement, that under New York's Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, New York was a safer, cleaner city. Raise your hand if you disagree with that. Compare it to what's going on in New York City right now under the communist, psychotic, corrupt boss Tweed running the city right now. Giuliani cleaned up the city. Giuliani got the bums off the streets, the drug addicts, the sickos, the crime was down. It was a cleaner city. Giuliani said the following on Fox News today. He said the Clinton found, well, wait a minute, hold it now. Listen to Rudy Giuliani this morning in his own words in clip three.
She is the consummate corrupt Washington insider, and she is thoroughly corrupt, and so is the Clinton Foundation. If I were back in my old job as U.S. attorney, I would probably indict the Clinton Foundation as a racketeering enterprise. They took money from money launderers, criminals, dictators, people who abuse women as a matter of government policy. She did favors for those very people who gave money to the Clinton Foundation.
This is a man that everyone in America knows is a reputable, honorable man. And if you look at this career criminal family foundation, and you look at her health problems, and you remember that back in the old days, Woodrow Wilson's wife had to run the White House because he was sick. There are a lot of things that need to be talked about before we go to the polls. And we'll talk about that as well as a newly released series of emails that show Clinton did pay-for-play favors for foundation donors through her top aide, the Iranian stealth agent Huma Abedin. Newly released trove of emails from Hillary Clinton's top aide Huma Abedin shows she repeatedly did favors for high-dollar contributors to the Clinton Foundation, including a foreign national with a criminal record that made her nervous. In fact, this guy was so corrupt that even the questionable Barbara Boxer refused to intervene. Did you hear this? Even Barbara the Bagel Boxer wouldn't touch this request to gain access to Hillary Clinton. I was shocked to read this. Wasserman was informed that Senator Barbara Boxer, D. California, declined to help of the pending criminal matter. So did Senator Sherrod Brown, D. Ohio. But they went to someone else who got access to Hillary Clinton. I'll tell you more about those. Now, for those of you who want something other than this kind of political stuff today on the Savage Nation, I have another topic that I really want to get to. Remember a couple of years ago, a beautiful young girl named Elizabeth Smart was kidnapped out of her parents' home. She was a pretty young blonde girl. She was kidnapped by that bearded psychotic. Do you remember who raped her repeatedly for months? I don't know if you remember the story. It was a huge story. Well, now she is on an anti-pornography campaign. And it's a very important campaign because Elizabeth Smart, who survived constant raping by this sicko, is saying that pornography led to her captor raping her more than he already did in the 9 months she was held. Elizabeth Smart made the remarks in a video posted Friday by Fight the New Drug, an anti-pornography advocacy group. In a new video released by anti-porn nonprofit Fight the New Drug, Elizabeth Smart talks about the man who kidnapped her when she was 14 and his frequent engagement with pornography, which now 28-year-old Smart says made her living hell even worse. And I'm going to talk about that, and I'm going to ask you this question. How has pornography ruined your life? Because it has. Don't buy the lie that it's good for you or healthy for you. And the fact of the matter is, there's more to talk about than simply Trump's wall or Hillary's health. And while you're thinking about these topics on the Savage Nation, and believe me, there are others, the phone number is 855-400-7282, if you care to join the dialogue, 855-400-SAVAGE. I want you to try to keep a few things in mind. It's very important for those of you who are undecided because of the around-the-clock propaganda by Joseph Goebbels, Blitzer, and the others in the media. Joseph Goebbels, Blitzer, Joseph Goebbels, Tapper, Joseph Goebbels, Stephanopoulos would have you believe that the election is already over and Trump is worse than Hitler. But keep this in mind. Donald Trump did not steal your money and run the debt up to what it is right now. Donald Trump did not raise your taxes. Donald Trump did not quadruple the price of food. Trump is not stirring a race war. Trump did not leave U.S. soldiers in Benghazi to be slaughtered and desecrated by filthy Muslims. Trump did not send the U.S. Navy to fight for Syria and Al-Qaeda. Trump did not arm ISIS and systematically exterminate Christians throughout the Middle East. Trump did not betray Israel. Trump did not provide financing and technology to Iran's nuclear weapons program. Trump did not give our military secrets to China. Trump did not remove our nuclear missile shield in Poland at the behest of Russia. Trump did not shrivel our military and betray our veterans. Trump did not cripple our economy. Trump did not increase our debt to $20 trillion. Trump did not ruin our credit twice. Trump did not double African-American unemployment. Trump did not increase welfare to a record level for 8 years. Trump did not sign a law making it legal to execute and imprison Americans. Trump did not set free all of terrorists in Guantanamo Bay. Trump did not steal your rights, violate U.S. constitutional law, or commit treason hundreds of times. And yet, Joseph Goebbels, Blitzer, Joseph Goebbels, Tapper, Joseph Goebbels, ABC, CBS, NBC, call him worse than Hitler nonstop. It is Barack Hussein Obama, the liar and thief. It is Hillary Clinton and the established con men who have illegally occupied our government and stolen our government from us, not the Republican establishment. The government media complex is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat Party. Save our borders, language, and culture. And if you think that you want to hear what I just said to you all over again, and you want to get it down clearly? Yeah, that's right. It's all in my masterpiece, Scorched Earth, which, yes, you can buy right now on Amazon or buy in bookstores a week after Labor Day. This is it, my friends. It's down to the wire. Are we one bad election from losing everything? Is America not becoming a third world nation of terror, riots, mobs, and chaos? Has our Constitution not been trampled by a divisive, lying president? Have progressive policies and open borders not flooded America with drugs and poisoned America with diseases like Zika? Can the nation recover from Obama's scorched earth policies? Yes, only if one man wins, and his name is Donald Trump. Read all about it in Scorched Earth. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Listen, let me tell you something. The reason I've survived these 22 years in radio with a big show is because I have the instincts to know what you're going to be interested in. I knew you'd respond to the dangers of pornography, more so than the corruption of Hillary Clinton. Not because the corruption of Hillary Clinton is not a known fact. It's just that we all know it. It's a given. We know she's corrupt. We know she should be arrested. We know that she should have been indicted. We know she should step down. We know all of that. We know Obama should have been in prison a year ago for violating the Constitution. But, well, how many times can you say the same thing? So talk radio can be about a lot of things. It doesn't have to be about the election. Of course, it will be more and more as we get closer. But when I raised the issue of the kidnapping and rape survivor, Elizabeth Smart, running an anti-pornography advocacy group, and she says that pornography made her life, her living hell even worse, and stuff like that. And I ask you, how has pornography ruined your life? I knew that that's what you were going to call on. I mean, I could talk about the dental chair on Friday if you want, which I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, but let's say it was akin to, I'll make it a 30-second or lesser. It was akin to, if there is consciousness after you die, where you have no feelings or sensation, but you know what's going on, it would have been in that dental chair, where you're numb and you know things are being done to you, but you're not really feeling it, even though because you've been given Novocaine or whatever. But the guy felt like he was in there with a chisel and a hammer and 20 little gremlins cutting and burning and the smell of burning flesh coming up from the gum. It was wonderful as an experience. What I'm saying to you is, as numb as I was in the dental chair, I have to ask myself, how could Hillary Clinton be so numbed out to not know that the whole world knows how corrupt her foundation is? How could she not know that? Isn't she numbed on something? Is that why she's stumbling? I'm wondering. But I think it's the other topic. Sue on KLIF in Dallas. Fire away a minute or less. Pornography is the issue. What did it do to you?
It ruined my chance of having a healthy sexuality from the age of 11. A horrible sexual predator exposed me to pornography when I was a young, innocent little girl. And he ruined it for me. I am 42 years old now, and I still have problems with sex in my marriage.
Well, you mean the imagery that was branded into your brain ruined normal sex for you? Is that what you're saying, Sue?
Yes, it did. And it's also ruined, my husband was, I was not unaware before I was married that he was addicted to pornography. And
Sue, stay on the line. This is too big a topic to gloss over. Has pornography ruined your life? If so, we're talking about it on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
UBS gave the Clintons altogether over $1 million. She made a call to the IRS, asking the IRS to go easy on their attempts to get identities from UBS. In my day, that was considered bribery when I was a U.S. attorney, and I prosecuted several very prominent politicians and convicted them of bribery,
Mr. Mayor,
including two congressmen.
No, that was when America was still America. But after 8 years of the goofy golfer, why, there's no America anymore. There's just the goofy golfer's empty bag of tricks. So she's in excellent health, even though she's stumbling and falling and needs pillows to hold her up. The foundation is a RICO, obviously. And all you hear about is that Trump did this, Trump did that. That's why I don't want to talk about it. I think that watching Hillary Clinton get away with what she's getting away with and watching Obama get away with what he gets away with, including not going to the flooded Louisiana, saying he's too busy, is equivalent to pornography. That anybody who watches Obama lie as he does so glibly, it's equivalent to pornography. It's sort of a pornographic event. It's a pornography of the truth. Let's put it to you that way. So I'm going down to the core of the issue of actual porno, which is what it's doing to the people in the world, how it's ruining their minds. And it only came up because Elizabeth Smart, who had been kidnapped when she was a little girl and repeatedly raped by that psycho with the long beard, I'm nothing against beards. I have a beard. It's a short beard. But it's for identity purposes. I don't know. He starved her and raped her repeatedly for 9 months before she was recognized and rescued in Sandy, Utah, in March of 2003. Remember that? She was ripped out of her Salt Lake City home in 2002 at the age of 14 by Brian David Mitchell. And he showed her magazines containing hardcore pornography. And then he said he wanted to mimic what he was looking at. She is now running an anti-pornography campaign. God bless her. What would I like to see something like that happen? Could you imagine what would happen to all of these outlets that make billions of dollars on porno, including the hotel chains run by good Christians who make hundreds of millions of dollars a year on pornography rentals in their hotel chains, and then they pray on the weekends? This is wonderful to look at. KLIF, Sue, coming back to your story, what happened to you originally? What do you mean somebody at your... How old were you when it was done to you?
I was 11. My parents had recently divorced, and a trusted individual who we thought was a trusted individual, my mother let me spend time with this person just so she could have a break. And he would take me out into the woods, called it a nature walk, and would show me hardcore pornography. And at first I didn't know what to make heads or tails of it because I was just so young. And but it led to him molesting me. And and later on, they moved, so I was... Thankfully, he never raped me. It got these motions in my mind that sex was a bad thing.
Well, wait a minute. Let me back up for a minute. He showed you still pictures of hardcore pornography. Is that what you said?
Yes, yes. And he talked.
You didn't understand it because you were a little child. You didn't quite understand what you were looking at. But without raking you over the coals of your memory, what do you mean it ruined your life? How?
Because it made sex an ugly thing to me. Instead of something I think that should be beautiful.
So you associate sex with ugliness as a result?
Most of the time I do. Sometimes I can appreciate it. But a lot of the time, it's an ugly thing to me.
Well, I think we should leave it at that without, you know, stepping on your nerves any further. I appreciate the bravery, Sue, and I'm sorry for what you've lived through. But I think that this story of the danger of pornography needs to be discussed from time to time because no one discusses it. In my day, it was illegal. It was around, but you had a, you know, if anyone sold pornography, they were arrested by a vice squad. Now, compare that to today, where it's generated into every child's iPhone with almost no controls. And think of what it's doing to your little children. Think of what it's doing to your 9-10-year-old daughter or 9-10-year-old son. You say, well, no, I've got controls in there. They're getting around those controls. How can they ever engage in a life that has any semblance of sanity with an opposite sex partner? How is that even possible? And so I think that we are long overdue for a campaign against this disease because doctors have said that pornography is very much like cocaine or crack. It goes down the same neuronal pathways that must be fed over and over again or the brain is starved for that thrill, so to speak. And I do know there's an interesting coordination here between this anti-pornography rumbling that is occurring in America, the advent or introduction into America of very strict Muslim religious code. So not all Muslims are terrorists, as you well know, and I have to say it over and over again. They fear ISIS more than you do because they've seen them firsthand, many of them, what these psychos will do. But they are religious people. They're totally anti-pornography, as are Orthodox Jews, as are religious Christians. And there just might be a movement to render pornography where it belongs, which is illegal, number one, and get it out of our homes and perhaps eventually in another generation get it out of the heads of our nation. It's going to take 20 years, do you know that? It will take 20 years to rid this nation of that scourge. Jeremy on KLIF. Go ahead, please. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to thank you for the topic. I've called before. I'm a mental health professional in Fort Worth, and we've talked a few times, Robin Williams stuff, some suicide stuff, and some other stuff.
Oh, yes. Of course I remember you. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm good, sir. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the topic. I mean, just what you're doing here, never mind the details of the quality of the phone calls and the quality of the presentation, just the fact that it's getting light is really helpful, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I have to thank Elizabeth Smart for starting this organization because no one else is talking about it. But go ahead, make your point, please.
Yeah, so my point is that this falls into the category of what's called like a process addiction. There's the chemical components are all there. They're accurate, just like crystal meth, just like cocaine. They light up the same areas of the brain and the neural pathways. But it's also a process addiction in that it's like anything else you get for free, there's never enough. And so the oversaturation of pornography follows a clear spectrum, which anytime you find yourself on that spectrum, unless it's stopped, you can be guaranteed to take it to completion. In other words, you know, one particular thing that somebody might take in from a pornographic standpoint eventually is not going to be enough. It's not going to bring the same level of satisfaction, and they're going to ratchet up the level of deviancy in order to fulfill the same desire. And they'll gradually progress through what's available to them from a pornography standpoint, and they'll eventually progress from, say, what you would consider to be, or what someone might consider to be normal pornography, where it's heterosexual, or somebody might consider homosexual pornography. You get the idea, right? And gradually...
Wait. So you're saying that no longer sets off the same charge of excitement, so the individual starts cruising around the porno grounds for something more exotic? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or a good way to look at it is deviant. You know, anything that they feel, you know, based on their life history and experience and family of origin and all of that stuff, they're going to gradually flow down this spectrum to where it's to where they can be deviant. The problem is they're eventually going to get to a place where there's nothing. Like I said before, anything that you get for free, you're eventually it's never going to be enough. And so eventually what's going to happen is they're going to need to incorporate other people, whether willing or unwilling. And then and that's when it starts to happen. And what ends up happening is once somebody incorporates somebody, whether they become an actual offender, the actual sex act isn't going to be enough either. And then that's when it tends to resort to violence, because that's the baseline primal problem solving that humans have when they're unchecked.
Jeremy, do you treat pornography addiction?
Yes, sir, I do.
Is it curable? Is it a curable addiction?
It absolutely is. It just, like anything else, you know, in the mental health world, you know, we tend to like to look at things as being complicated because then it gives us an excuse to fail. But the reality of it is, it's just really hard, you know, and that's it. I mean, that's 90% of the mental health world. It's just difficult. Things are just difficult to overcome.
Well, what do you do? What do you use? Substitution therapy? What do you substitute? Let's say the person's addicted to porn. What do you do for them? You tell them when they want to go in the room and look at porn, they should look at a Bible? What do you tell them to do?
No, that's the last thing you do. The substitution is a little bit...
Wait, no, that's interesting. Why is that the last thing you do?
Well, because we have to be... In my profession, and I mean, never mind what my worldview is. I mean, I happen to be a Christian, but what I'm saying to you is part of the problem is that what you can do is you can then become a victim of the pornography as well and pollute things that are actually good for that person and will eventually be a tool for you. So in my line of work, I have to preserve the functioning of certain tools, and I can only try to incorporate them when I think they're going to be successful, because if I send somebody into that substitution therapy and then it doesn't work, not only am I stupid or wrong, but the intervention has failed, and now they're...
Oh, wait a minute. So you don't want to use substitution therapy because it's liable to fail and make the person even more committed to the addiction.
And not only that, but it'll take away a future tool that I might have if they get a little bit healthier. You know, that's something that I do introduce, but I don't introduce that until we've done some work. You know, and part of what it is, you know, my role is to mimic whatever relationships that they don't have in their life. You know, a healthy relationship with their therapist, and we take time to develop trust, and you know, I help them with their view of what it means to be a functioning, sentient, valuable human being. And we work.
So, you know what's intriguing to me is I've studied this from time to time. Do you know which country has the highest per capita use of pornography?
It's the U.S.
No, it's Pakistan.
Now, you're saying the use or distribution?
Well, that's interesting. I believe per capita use. In other words, although it's a strict Muslim country, because of the repression, they're highly addicted to pornography in Pakistan.
One bit. Yeah, I don't doubt that one bit.
And then what's also interesting to me is, like, take a look at a country like Japan. Some of the most, shall I say, graphically vile pornography is produced in Japan. Can you explain that?
Well, I don't know if I can explain it, but I think that it has a lot to do. I mean, the explanation for me as a professional would be no different than probably you as a professional in your field. I mean, the explanation is simple. People are going to get their needs met no matter what. There isn't an option for a human being to not make an attempt to get their needs met. And so wherever they're deficient...
You know, Jeremy, this is an important question because we have gone so past pornography. When you have sex dolls being made that are almost robotically real, or robotic sex dolls that are now approaching a level of almost reality, you of course, you know about that. So you've got people now who want relationships with robots rather than with people. Isn't pornography just a baby step compared to that?
Let me put it to you this way, and this usually affects people in different ways. But the thing is the one thing about the pornography and the sex doll, whatever incarnation it's in, the only thing that they're in love with is the fact that they can't be rejected. That's it. And so what ends up?
Wow. Whoa, Jeremy, that's brilliant, man.
It is what it is. You know, when I'm able to address that and I can get somebody that I'm working with to accept that as a reality, then that's one of the first steps in progress. And if you take a look at it, you know, what ends up happening is the pornography thing is it's a little bit complicated on some level, because what ends up happening is, generally speaking, somebody that's addicted to pornography, they'll take all the things in their life where they get their needs met from a relationship standpoint, and it's like they have 500 pieces make up the one relationship that they have. They may get something from their wife. They may get something from, you know, leering or peeking or stalking everyday citizens. Because a lot of times what people will do is they'll see something during the day, or they'll be titillated by a particular looking thing, woman, man, whatever you want to call it, and that's what they'll seek out online. You know, that wasn't available to you and I when we were kids. You know, just doing anything you could do to find a dirty magazine somewhere. You know, the amount of effort it took to even
look. I like your use of the phrase "dirty magazine." It's so quaint in this day and age. The only dirty magazines that are considered dirty today would be something about the Bible, I suppose, to the people who are running this media world of ours. Jeremy, I think we should stay with you because you've enlightened me, and if you've enlightened me, you've enlightened millions of people with what you said earlier. I never heard that before, where you say the only, or let's just say a commonality in all addiction to pornography, is that the individual cannot be rejected, which is what the excitement is. Isn't that more or less what you were saying?
Yeah, they can do whatever they want to, and nobody's going to say no. Nobody's going to tell
Jeremy, you practice in Fort Worth. When we come back, well, do it now. Do you care to give out your contact?
Sure. I appreciate that very much. I don't take that lightly. Yes, my website is www.jeremylanninglpc.com. That's Jeremy Lanning, Lanning, .com. And you can find information on there and myself.
Jeremy, hold on. Stay on the line because I want to come back to a little more of your insights. I know you've been on the show from time to time, but I've never heard you as focused as you are today on this topic. I'll be back in a minute. The topic is, how has pornography ruined your life? And I'm talking to you out there. You, miss. You, sir. You. And you. And you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Well, to some, the election is a pornographic event. The pornography of lies, the charade of lies about Hillary's health, about Hillary's criminal relationships to the Clinton Foundation and the shady people who gave her money. And so I'm talking about the issue itself, the issue of pornography. There's another side to this story. 30 seconds, Joel on KSFO, make your point, please. It's an important one from the other point of view.
Dr. Savage, pleasure to talk to you. I'll try to make it quick. The wife and I watch pornography all the time, both alone and together. And it's just like alcohol. It's good for some people. It's good for most people, a little bit as a release. But it's not for everybody. Some people can't handle it. And I can see how it could be devastating to some maybe lesser intellects, or maybe, let's say, intelligent constitution. But
so in other words, because you're so intelligent, you can handle pornography, and only dumb people get addicted.
No, I guess that didn't come out really the way.
Okay, I'm just joking. What would you do if pornography were made illegal? Would your wife and you still be able to have sex?
Absolutely, we would. We love each other.
All right, well, there's the other side to the story. We'll continue when I come back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, flag a sleeve on deep.
It is the normal Blue Monday. It's the end of August at the Hotel Ozone. That was an old movie from the 60s that I remember very well. And those of you who have been listening to the Savage Nation for all these years know that in late August, I often turn into a different talk show host, meaning I it's a little more relaxed. I know we're in a hyper campaign. I know that we have a criminal running for the presidency. And we know that her skirts are as dirty as they come. We know that her health is being covered up. Top doctors are saying there's something wrong with her. She is not going to make it into the White House. And if she does, someone else is going to have to take the job. That means Bill's going to be president again. That means what, he's going to run the third term, violating the Constitution yet again. And again, you know, feather his own nest. So that's a big issue. And I want to talk, though, about the issue of pornography and how it has damaged your life. Why? I was reading an article by Elizabeth Smart, who was kidnapped at age 14 and repeatedly raped by that animal, Brian David Mitchell, up in Utah, if you remember that story. And she's now running an anti-pornography campaign, and she says pornography led to this bum raping her more than he already did in the 9 months that she was held. And so it raises the issue of, now, pornography's been mainstreamed in America. Irrespective of whether you like it or you don't like it, it has been mainstreamed in America to the detriment of the nation, not to the health of the nation. And so we're talking about it on that level. And while we're talking about it on that level, I'm not going to dismiss the whole campaign for the moment. The fact is, Giuliani says that the Clinton Foundation warrants indictment as a racketeering enterprise. And I don't know of anyone in America who doesn't agree that Rudolph Giuliani was a great mayor and a great U.S. attorney who cleaned up New York City. And the man is as honest as they come, and I think that we should listen to him. Newly released Clinton emails show favors for foundation donors, run by Huma Abedin. Very important story. There is another story by Bill Gertz in the Free Beacon, Why We Need Trump's Wall. And it's about Sunni extremists infiltrating the United States with the help of Mexican smugglers in South America and are crossing into the United States with ease, according to a military, that is a U.S. South Command intelligence report. Alien smuggling networks in South America are bringing Sunni Muslims into the United States of America. How in the world can this not worry you? How could you not believe we need Trump's wall? So having said that, I think it's important to talk about a lifestyle topic just as well. And while I am doing that, I will once again remind you, as I did earlier in the show, when I was talking about my book, Scorched Earth, and why I think it's a must-read, and why I think you must buy it for yourself and a Prague. If you find a Prague who's willing to at least look at the evidence, Scorched Earth will show you that Donald Trump, who was being attacked around the clock by Joseph Goebbels' blitzer, Joseph Goebbels' tapper, Joseph Goebbels, well, you fill in the blank, Stephanopoulos, they're all Joseph Goebbels, in my estimation. They're focused on him. She's hiding, hasn't given a press conference in 280 days. But it's Trump, 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 all the time. Trump didn't steal your money. Trump didn't raise your taxes. Trump did not quadruple the price of food. Trump did not stir a race war. Trump did not conduct a war on police. Trump did not leave U.S. soldiers in Benghazi to be slaughtered and desecrated by Muslims. Trump did not send the U.S. Navy to fight for Syria and Al-Qaeda. Trump did not arm ISIS and systematically exterminate Christians throughout the Middle East. Trump did not bring in Muslims and no Christians. Trump did not betray Israel. Trump did not provide financing and technology to Iran's nuclear weapons program. Trump did not give our military secrets to China. Trump did not remove our nuclear missile shield in Poland at the request of Russia. Trump did not shrivel our military. Trump did not betray our veterans. Trump did not cripple our economy. Trump did not increase our debt to $20 trillion. Trump did not ruin our credit. Trump did not double African-American unemployment. Trump did not increase welfare to a record level for 8 years. Trump did not sign a law making it legal to execute and imprison Americans. Trump did not set free all the terrorists in Guantanamo Bay. Trump did not steal your rights. Trump did not violate the U.S. constitutional law or commit treason hundreds of times. And yet it's Trump. It's Barry Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton and the rotten establishment who have occupied our government. That's who. And now let's go on to the lifestyle question. Jeremy, KLIF, you treat porno addiction. So where we left off in the last hour was you don't use substitution therapy because you said if it doesn't work, it's even worse for the patient. So what do you do?
Well, the substitution therapy works great as a tool down the road. You know, once the person has demonstrated that they're as uncomfortable with their life as I need them to be. In other words, we don't change unless we're uncomfortable, right? We don't make any changes. We don't make any adjustments. There has to be a certain amount of uncomfortability. So once they get to the place where they're committed to doing the work, that's when substitution therapy, you know, as you're describing it, that's when it can work. If it's introduced too soon, then the worst thing is I render that an ineffective tool, and I can't use it down the road. And that's just not something, you know, my background is in military and emergency medicine and stuff, so I'm pretty outcome-oriented. And I take that approach to the counseling and the psychotherapy that I do. And
but
so
you
I
said
just,
something in the last hour that I had never heard before. The reason pornography is so appealing and addicting is because in using it, the user cannot be rejected. Isn't that what you said?
That's correct. And, you know, what the person does who has the addiction or the obsession with it is they create sort of a harem of women that all or whatever, you know, whatever their bent is, so to speak, with the pornography or those kinds of deviations, they sort of create for themselves this fantasy world that they can access at any time, but they can never be rejected from. They can't be kicked out. They can't be rejected. They can't have any expectations. They'll never be responsible for unmet needs. You know, it goes on and on and on and on. And so when I take in somebody who's struggling with that, the most important thing is that I don't pathologize them as a human being. I mean, because what they're essentially doing is they're trying to get their needs met that are reasonable. And they've gotten to this place where this is how they're doing it, and it's wreaking havoc on their life and, typically speaking, the lives of those that are around them. And what ends up happening...
All right, so let's take some cases like the last hour where a man called and said he's happily married, and he and his wife enjoy pornography, and it enhances their sexuality. How would you respond to that?
I'm going to tell you exactly how I'd respond to them if they were sitting on my couch right now. I would ask them if they've ever watched Mike Tyson fight, and they would say yes. And I would say that one of my favorite quotes in the history of the world is Mike Tyson, after a second-round knockout, when they asked him what he thought of his opponent's plan, he said, "Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face." And so, you know, the deal is while that's working for them right now, I guarantee you long-term that's not a solution. There's just no way. It'd be one thing if I saw it on my couch.
Well, so let's take – I'm not taking devil's advocate because I don't like that stream of conversation. But for the moment, what about the lonely person who's, let's say, physically unattractive or physically – I hate to use the word handicapped and can never find anyone to have sex with? What harm does it do for that person to relieve himself through pornography?
Well, here's the question. You know, I don't know. Part of the thing that I can't do is I can't make value judgments on what people do, right? I can't introduce that into my practice. In other words, you know, morality judgments, value judgments, and things like that. Typically speaking, you look at whatever a person is engaged in, and the question becomes, are they functioning? What's their ability like to function? Are they contributing to society, and what problems are they having? So typically speaking, I'm not going to see somebody unless they're either having the actual problems or having the problems and decided that they want to.
So in other words, pornography is only a problem for those who perceive it to be a problem.
Okay, now that's a good point, but then here's what I alluded to in the last hour. The problem is, though, that the person does have to recognize that while things are working good for them at the moment, they are still on that same spectrum of behavior that hardcore offenders are on. And if they want to roll that dice, then they can roll that dice. But generally speaking...
Well, what do you mean by hardcore offenders? How do you jump from watching pornography to becoming an offender?
Well, I'm saying take a look at it like a spectrum, right? You know, like a thermometer. You know, on one end of the spectrum, you have somebody that has no deviance thoughts whatsoever when it comes to sexuality or pornography. Basically, it's the person, that person doesn't exist. If you then go to the all the way to the other end of the spectrum and you consider the most hardcore offender that you can possibly think of, you know, or that your mind can't even go there, that's the other end of the spectrum. Well, every single person that has been a violent sex offender, the worst that our society has to offer, has been on that spectrum before, where they were just enjoying pornography and thought to themselves, this will never be a problem for me, I'll be okay.
Really? That's interesting. So a child molester usually starts out with porno?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there are anomalies out there somewhere that can, you know, that are some sort of outliers that could somehow affect statistics. But in generally speaking, that's absolutely true. I mean, and that's why the rehabilitation is so difficult, and it takes, you know, it takes a lot to rehabilitate somebody from who's been an offender. And so anyway, to answer your larger question, if I have somebody sitting in front of me that's telling me, like that couple, and they're saying everything is going fine, then I'm asking themselves, well, how do so many other people do it and not use that as a tool? And generally speaking, then I would split that couple up and meet with each of them individually, and I guarantee you, in privacy, in confidentiality, somebody's going to have a problem with doing that. And that,
well, Jeremy, we'll leave it at that. Again, let's give your website out, because if someone needs help, you're the guy to go to. What is your website again?
Yes, sir. The website is www.jeremylanninglpc.com. That's JeremyLanninglpc.com. There's a bunch of information on there. There's some resources on there. And there's contact information. If you're having a problem, please contact me. Call me, email me, anything.
Well, I'm glad that we reached you on KLIF in Dallas. It's so important. It shows you what the power of talk radio in a positive manner can be. I mean, sure, we do politics all the time, but, you know, after the election, we're going to have to do other things. And I like to pride myself on the fact that I have an extremely versatile mind and tremendously versatile interests. And I think this is an example of where we're going to be going. Not exactly the topic, but, you know, in systematically, this is where I'm going to go into other topics after the election in the years that I have left on talk radio. It's all up to God. Jeremy, thank you for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Amazing. Just amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. 18 minutes after the hour. Let's continue on this topic a little bit longer, and then we'll go on to other topics, including Hillary Clinton's health, the scam that is being run by Google to hide her medical information, top physician calling for her health analysis by an independent panel, the fact that someone is trying to kill Julian Assange, who is in hiding in an embassy where he is being protected by the Ecuadorian embassy in London, an intruder tried to kill him over the weekend. Who tried to kill him? Which machine is most likely to fall with yet another revelation? You know it's not Trump. And so, again, I'll go back to the topic on hand, which is pornography, pornography, pornography. And I think we should play Elizabeth Smart, by the way, Robert. I know we have her, don't we? Because she's here. Kidnapping survivor Elizabeth Smart says porn made her ordeal even worse. So let's do this. Those who aren't on the line, if you want to tell your story, the phone number is 855-17282. Let's listen to Elizabeth Smart in clip number 13 on The Savage Nation.
My captor was really excited and really kind of amped up about something. And he said, oh, you know, I have something and I'm going to show it to you and you have to look at it. You have to look at it. And then I remember he pulled out this magazine full of hardcore pornography. And I remember he would just sit and look at it and stare at it. And he'd just talk about these women. And then when he was done, he would turn and he'd look at me and he'd be like, now we're going to do this. It just led to him raping me more than he already did, which was a lot.
Wouldn't it be nice if there was a real feminist movement in America? Wouldn't it be nice if those mean-faced, fake feminists who simply hate men were to join Elizabeth Smart in her campaign? There'd be a lot of things that would be nice. I'll be back in a minute on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is a cartoon. Many people consider the campaign of the presidency a cartoon. And it isn't a cartoon. Of course, everything is at stake. But I don't want to beat a horse that's not quite dead yet. But it will be soon. I mean, come November, it's going to be a dead horse. It'll be over. So we're talking about something more fundamentally related to our daily lives, which is, hey, there's a lot of addictions. We all know about crack. We know about fentanyl. We know about OxyContin. And we got all sorts of campaigns. But we forgot about the pornography addiction. WJR, Bryn, go ahead, tell your story about your problem with porn.
Hi, Michael. My problem, I married my husband when I was in my late 20s, and I'd really waited a long time to find the right guy. And he was awesome, I thought, highly educated, very impressive, and very nice. Over time, he got involved in regular pornography, and my daughter sort of noticed something, and she said, "Mom, what's this?" And I, looked at started finding out he was playing with pornography. Over time, the stuff I would find on the computer was much more perverse. And then over time, he had affairs, and he had other issues, and so that led to the divorce. And now, I'd have to say he's even fallen off the spectrum on the other end. And he's living out in California as a woman.
I guess he watched so much pornography, he realized he was having the most fun.
I guess he wanted to be a woman.
I try to make some light of it. I guess it's not fun for you. So where does it leave you? Did you get remarried?
No. I don't even like to tell anybody I know any of this, and now I'm spilling it on national television.
I'm sorry. Well, okay, so I hope you're using a pseudonym. Have you found another man with whom you are relating?
Oh, yes. I have the most awesome husband, and I thought everything was wrong with me being married.
Oh, my God. Now, hold on a minute. That's probably the most important part of this discussion. Which is, if men are using pornography, the woman thinks she's inadequate. Isn't that what... That's the part of the story that's hidden here. So, would you care to talk about that when we come back? I'd like to hear more about it, Bryn.
Thank you.
Stay on. I don't know. You learn something new every day if you're actually interested in life and people. It's my raison d'être. I hope it's yours. And I'm not talking about raisins.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now.
It is the Savage Nation. And remember that list that I read you about Donald Trump did not steal your money, did not raise your taxes, did not sign a law making it legal to execute and imprison Americans, did not set... You see, remember that long list? Also, he did not put transgenders in your daughter's bathroom. It was not Donald Trump. And tell me which one of the candidates would be in favor of doing more of the madness, Trump or the hidden one? Texas judge blocks Obama's transgender bathroom directive. Good for the judge. Huma Abedin, that's Hillary's intimate friend, denies an active role at Radical Muslim Journal, even though she was on the masthead for years and her mother is the executive editor. You hear this? I mean, she can only shed the snakeskin for so long. We know the snakeskin where it came from. A lot of women like snakeskin bags. Bryn, WJR, Detroit, back with us. So, your husband was a nice guy, educated, intelligent, became addicted to porno, tried to engage you in the acts, eventually left you, or you threw him out. What happened? You threw him out or he left?
I asked him to leave.
And now he's living as a woman in San Francisco. If he's listening to the show, of course, he's invited to call to tell his side of the story about how inadequate you were, and that's why he wound up a woman. But in all seriousness, Bryn, along the road, this terrible road you had been on, you doubted yourself. Is that what you were saying?
That's true. You do, of course. I mean, you get frustrated yourself. You wonder why he doesn't want you and why he wants this TV internet thing going on. It's very demoralizing, and you've waited your whole life for this beautiful marriage, and it's a nightmare.
How has it affected your children?
One of our children is married now, so obviously he would be the man that would walk the daughter down the aisle. That led to a lot of decisions with the marriage. You know,
you mean why you dumped him?
Well, because he's a parent that's been involved in the daughter's life for quite a while, obviously her whole life. So,
is she married?
She got married a couple years ago. So then she had to make all those decisions about how she was going to have him.
Did he walk her down the aisle in a wedding dress or what?
No, he didn't. He didn't do that, thank God. But she did clarify with him that she expected him to wear a tuxedo.
You mean that? Come on, at that point he was already a cross-dresser?
But he hadn't. You know, I'm obviously not in San Francisco. He hadn't really revealed himself fully, you know, going into the wedding, her wedding at that point. So.
All right, but let's not drag you through this again. You're married now in a decent relationship. Would you say your scars have healed?
Yes. I think it's always so, you kind of look at your children as they've grown and you wonder if they had been just in a regular marriage that stayed together and didn't have to go through the trauma of a divorce, don't you think that they would be a little more secure? I mean, they might be wonderful, but they could...
You know, I'm listening to this, and I feel you're still blaming yourself for having failed him.
I'm not blaming myself. It's his choices that made all... But it did affect my life. It did affect...
But you're looking back with a little regret. Like, what if the guy had, not been so weird, and you were still together, wouldn't it have been better for the children? But you can't remake... You know, I met a therapist who said to me, never fight with reality because you'll always lose.
Yes, you're right. You're right. I'm so thankful.
Right? Right? Listen to what he said. He said, never fight with reality because you will always lose. Now, your reality is your reality. He is what he is. You had to leave him, and there's no looking back.
Oh, I'm so thankful that I could have the opportunity to leave him.
But Bryn, you said something at the outset of this conversation with me. And so many others. You said you've never told anyone this, and here you are sort of opening yourself up to a lot of people on talk radio. Is that true?
I have children. Anything I reveal publicly, like obviously I'm using a pseudonym, is going to affect my children and other people's opinion of their upbringing. So those are things.
Why would you be ashamed of what you didn't do? Again, don't fight with reality because you're going to lose. Accept what is. Nothing is whole. Nothing is 100%. I think you've come to understand that, right?
Tell people some things.
But Bryn, nothing is 100%. Nothing is a whole. Nothing is what we want it to be. I mean, even your new marriage is not 100% of what you want it to be, is it?
No, but I pretty much told people nothing for a long time because... it was incomprehensible what I'd lived through. But at some point...
All I can say is you're a very brave woman. You have a certain cheerfulness, a joy of living in your voice. I can hear it. And I don't think it's crushed you at all. By dint of the fact that you were able to go on and meet another man and continue in your own life, making the best of your life, indicates that you were not completely destroyed by this guy.
Well, God is big. And,
beautiful. You're very nice. It's very nice to hear you. You know, it's a different... It's different doing a show like this, to be honest with you, than I normally do. And it's more or less what I'm going to be doing after the election. Because I don't know how many years people are going to still be talking about the election after the election. I guess you can make a living talking about the election. I mean, if Hillary wins, well, most of the so-called conservatives will be in business. Because every day they will dissect what Hillary has done. If Trump wins, why then the liberals will be in business for the next 8 years talking about how bad Trump is. But believe me, there's a bigger world out there, isn't there, than Hillary and Donald?
Right. You're right. There is the world of how do we live our lives? How do we treat the people around us?
That's right. That's what it comes down to. Let me send you Teddy and Me. How's that? That's a healing book. And then when the time goes on, I'll get you Scorched Earth. Thank you very much, Bryn. I appreciate that. I was in a bookstore yesterday. I never go in bookstores. I do. I buy, car magazines. I'm like a stereotype of a right winger. I buy gun magazines. I love it. Like, if they were to look at the magazines I buy in Barnes & Noble, they'd say, a right wing nut is here. So I went in to get my monthly fill of right wing magazines. I bought car magazines, gun magazines, boating magazines, military aircraft magazines, military history magazines. And I noticed, again, what I was talking about on Friday, I don't know how they don't throw these people out. These old white guys sit around with food that they bring in. There's a guy in a stack of 20 magazines thumbing them. And he wasn't a bum. He was an ordinary middle-class retiree sitting there like it was a library. And I don't know how they don't impose a time limit in these bookstores and a magazine limit. Like, you can thumb through 3 magazines maximum and 10 minutes and then buy something or get out of there. But then I guess they'd have to hire someone. These young kids who were in the stores would never say anything to anyone because they don't want to be mean. Can you imagine a child working in a poor in a bookstore, one of these poor children who's been brainwashed into being nice, having to go up to an old white man and saying, "Sir, could you please not read more magazines?" What if the mean man said something to them? I don't really know how this goes on. I don't know how these bookstores stay in business, but then again, if I ran a bookstore, I'd have no customers because I kick guys like this out, and I'd be known as a mean bookstore owner. Okay, my friends, when I come back, more of this and all the latest news on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Maybe as a little break, we'll show you the pornography of propaganda in the midst of all of this. In the midst of flooding in Louisiana and him golfing, raising money, laughing and snickering at everyone, he gives a speech over the weekend, taking time out from hanging out with billionaires and trillionaires to give a speech on climate change. And here it is. We're talking about the goofy golfer in clip 15.
As president, I'm proud to have built upon America's tradition of conservation. We've protected more than 265 million acres of public lands and waters,
meaning
more than any administration in history.
Right, stolen.
We've recovered endangered wildlife species and restored vulnerable ecosystems.
Right.
We've designated new monuments to Cesar Chavez in California, Pullman Porters in Chicago.
Well, that's a big deal.
And the folks who stood up for equality at Stonewall in New York.
That's important.
To better reflect the full history of our nation.
Isn't that wonderful? The world's melting down, and that's all that's on his mind. Shall I put it a myopic university view of the world? That would about describe the goofy golfer. A myopic university view of the world. That's about all he's capable of. All right, Jack, WABC, tell us your porn story on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thanks for taking my call. So I grew up, I'm in my early 40s. So I grew up in a good Christian home, went to a Christian school all my life, was introduced to pornography as a middle schooler, but given the scenario in which I lived in and school that I went to, you know, a lot of that was kept secret through growing up because I did not want it to affect my position at the school and my parents' position. My dad was a teacher, and so I lived with it in secret and consumed it when I could at friends' houses and things like that. And college was a carryover for me of my upbringing, and so really kept it hidden and secret throughout that time. And when I graduated from college, I became a teacher, went to school to become a teacher, and was out on my own, and that's when my consumption of pornography really took off. I mean, I was like a kid in a candy store. I had it all at my fingertips. I could do whatever I want. It didn't seem like there was anybody looking over my shoulder and any restrictions, and it was from that that my consumption and the fantasies and everything that it was playing on my mind that I began to act out those fantasies, and unfortunately made the mistake of crossing the boundaries and violating a couple girls at the school that I taught at. Thank God it didn't go where it possibly could have. But at the same time, too, I made major mistakes and had to turn myself in and resign my position because I did not want that to go to the length of where I'd seen it go in other people. And that created a lot of consequences for me for the rest of my life.
Now, what do you mean by go where it's you saw other people go? Becoming like child molesters, rapists? Is that what you're implying?
Pornography, they would start off with small acts, and then, you know, it would carry on to instances of rape and murder and things like that, and seeing things, you know, on the news and reading about things. It really convicted me and consumed me to the point where I was.
Were you ever incarcerated for any of your acts?
I was incarcerated for about a year total. I this is about 20 years ago too, and I am grateful to this day that through my faith and through a lot of good pastoral friends that I've been able to restore myself. God saw fit to introduce me to a wonderful woman, and I have two kids now that are the joy of my life, and I work hard to make sure that I am above reproach, that I have boundaries set up in my life. But the consequences are huge. I mean, first of all and foremost, I victimized a couple girls, which they have to live with that, and their families have to live with that the rest of their lives, and there's nothing that I can do about that now except for making sure that I'm keeping myself above reproach. But then, two, because of my actions, I'll live with the consequences for the rest of my life. I'll be on a sex offender registry for the rest of my life. I can't go to my school and be a part of their school activities because of what I did 20 years ago.
Amazing. Well, look, Jack, you know, I mean, I touched a raw nerve here with this topic. I realize it's not about the election, but look at how many people are calling the show, women and men, with their stories. Apparently, pornography addiction is rampant in America, and it's not all healthful.
You started off the show today with Elizabeth Smart. I mean, I find myself in a very interesting situation. Although I'm on a registry, and there are some things that I don't like about it, obviously, I've got to protect my kids, too. And I look at the registry often, and I see what's happening, and I want to make sure that my kids are protected and that they've got the best.
Jack, who introduced you to pornography? You said it was in middle school. Who introduced you to it?
Through friends of mine at school, like going hanging out at their houses after school and finding a dog.
But it wasn't an adult who was doing this.
No. It was being introduced by friends of mine, you know, students that I went to school with.
But now let's speed it up to 2016. You got kids 8 years old running around. I see kids on bicycles with iPhones in their hand, and I don't know what they're looking at. I see a little kid on a bicycle the other day telling his friend that he has an Instagram account, and I say how nice that is, how interesting. And then I realize people are using Instagram to send naked pictures of themselves. Isn't that true?
It's very true, and I'm terrified of that. I'm not at that point yet with my kids, but I have open conversations with them about boundaries that we are going to set and that I'm going to be constantly checking things. And I
can't imagine when I was a kid on a bicycle, 8 years old, with my friend just riding around. What we do is go on bike rides if we had iPhones, and being curious, as all children are, what in the world we would have put into our little heads if we had access to the iPhones of today, with or without the blocks that parents may or may not put in. And I think it's long overdue as a nation that we not only curtail the drug epidemic, that we stop the flow of drugs with Trump's wall, but we've got to slow and stop the flow of porno with another kind of wall. But trying to tell that to those computer masters is another story. You know that they'd never give up their money for that. Let me send you a copy of Scorched Earth, because, my friends, there is a moral scorched earth out there as well. We can't blame Obama for that one, but I don't know what he's done for family values in the last 8 years. Do you? Can anyone listening to this show, now that I've stumbled upon that question, answer it for me? Has Obama at any point, here's a man married with two beautiful children, has he said or done anything in 8 years that would indicate he's interested in protecting family values? Moreover, let's go to Hillary Clinton, if you want to make it about the election. Do you think that a woman as given as she is, receiving cash, putting it into the foundation, favors being bought from her, do you think that she couldn't be bought by the most nefarious elements in this country and abroad for the right price? And now let's look at Donald Trump, a father, a grandfather. There's no indication that he's ever done anything wrong in this regard, is there? In fact, in all of these stories that have been spread about Donald Trump, there's not one story about illegal dealings. That's very interesting, isn't it? People don't like his tone. They don't like his attitude. They don't like the wall. They don't like his statements about drugs coming over the border. They don't like his statements about terrorists mixed in with the Muslims. But he's never actually committed anything approaching a crime. So of the two candidates, those of you who are on the fence, ask yourself which one of the two is most likely to support good old family values. Well, that does it for hour number two on the Savage Nation. There's another big hour across America. I hope you'll be with me right here on your local station.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Well, number one, they should shut it down. Number two, they should give the money back to a lot of countries that we shouldn't be taking and they shouldn't be taking money from. Countries that influenced her totally. And also, countries that discriminate against women and gays and everybody else. I mean, that money should be it should be given back. They should not take that money.
And then, of course, there's Giuliani on Your Girl Hillary, saying that if he was U.S. attorney, they would indict the Clinton Foundation as a racketeering enterprise in clip number three on the
She is the consummate corrupt Washington insider, and she is thoroughly corrupt, and so is the Clinton Foundation. If I were back in my old job as U.S. attorney, I would probably indict the Clinton Foundation as a racketeering enterprise. They took money from money launderers, criminals, dictators, people who abuse women as a matter of government policy. She did favors for those very people who gave money to the Clinton Foundation.
Well, that's the background to the election, of course, and if you were to summarize today's show, it would be Michael Savage talked about the dangers of pornography. It has nothing to do with the election, or does it? Well, it does in a way. It does, because I'm asking you, which candidate do you think would do more for family values, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton? What is pornography? Well, I'm reading a definition. It's a noun. Printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity intended to stimulate erotic rather than aesthetic or emotional feelings. It's an interesting definition. Separating out or dissecting sexual from aesthetic or emotional. I actually never looked at the definition. I always assumed I knew what it meant. Here's another definition of pornography by Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Movies, pictures, magazines that show or describe naked people or sex in a very open and direct way in order to cause sexual excitement. That would be everything produced by Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg. Okay, so that's a little too broad, I think. But we have Elizabeth Smart, who had been kidnapped and repeatedly raped by that psycho way back when, who this quiet little girl at 14 raped. Now at her, she's 14 years later, she's 28. She has created an anti-pornography foundation. And I think it's worth talking about for that reason. Kidnapping survivor Smart says porn made ordeal even worse. In a new video released by anti-porn nonprofit Fight the New Drug, Elizabeth Smart talks about the man who kidnapped her when she was 14 and his frequent engagement with pornography, which now 28-year-old Smart says made her living hell even worse. And so we all know this drug epidemic that's gotten far worse under Obama, who has fundamentally broken open our borders, permitting drugs to flow freely into every city in the nation. And yet there's never, ever any commentary from any of the Goebbels in the media. I should say the gerbils in the media. Maybe you'd know what I mean if I say gerbils, because you think of that famous actor. But the gerbils in the media, or the Goebbels in the media, depending upon your orientation, never say anything about why there is a new drug epidemic in America. And of course, Trump is the one who said he will build a wall, which would curtail the drug epidemic. So we're talking about various epidemics, and a doctor called, and he said that pornography addiction is very similar to other drugs in that they excite the same pathways and need to be fed the same way, and you need to escalate the dosage in order to get the same high that you got initially. Well, these are important topics in a nation that's demoralized and melting down like Chernobyl, isn't it? I think it's an important topic. So let's take some of the callers on this, in this hour. Let's see. Ashley on KSFO Online. Ashley, go ahead, please.
Hi. I just wanted to share with your audience something that happened to me. I consider myself an intelligent, good-looking, educated person, and someone that I briefly dated ended up taking lewd photos of me without my knowledge. I believe I was drugged, and he created a fake online profile trying to entice someone to rape me, to hurt me, to force me to do things, and he ended up getting convicted when I went to the cops and played the victim and played innocent. And because of the way that the laws don't catch up to the online pornographic, you know, sick community that's out there, he got sentenced to a year, but he didn't serve one day.
Well, that's because the pornographers buy the judges who make who interpret the laws. The judges are all bought and sold for to a 98th percentile. They buy judges in this country just like they can buy the Clinton Foundation. Through the Clinton Foundation, they were buying access to the Secretary of State by paying money to the husband's foundation. You know, it's the same kind of rotten corruption. So where do you stand? Are you afraid of this man today?
No. Thankfully, I have a backbone, and I'm very proud of myself for coming forward. I wasn't the first one. So even though I didn't get to hurt him the way that he hurt me, I did make a stance. It's out there. It's public record. And thankfully, I'm with someone now that if anyone ever tried to hurt me, they'd be making a huge, huge mistake.
I love it. So you found the guy who can protect you. That's beautiful. It's almost a beautiful romance in its own way.
Yeah, he's a big fan as well.
I want to ask you something, Ashley. This is an interesting question to me. This is a variance from my normal show. Is this the first time you've ever listened to The Savage Nation?
I have listened. I'm 29 years old. I have listened to you for about 12 years.
Now, do you find today's topic of the dangers of pornography interesting or a distraction from the election?
I find it refreshing, and I just want everyone out there, especially younger women, if you're like me and you're busy and you get caught up in dating, and what you don't realize is that people sometimes have another side, and they can be sick and disgusting and hurtful, and it's okay to put your foot down and say, no, you're not going to do that to me.
Well, wait a minute. Are you saying that in the beginning you didn't know what he was doing?
I had no idea. This was all online. This was all online. When the truth came out, not only was he doing that to me, but he had his search history for what he had looked for in regards to pornography. The detective said that it made him sick. And he was a detective.
Well, now we know why the movie The Godfather was so popular back in 1970 or 72 when it came out. We all wished that we had someone like The Godfather or his friends in the family in order to take care of these people who hurt the girls and the women. Because we know that you can't count on the courts. But look, you came out of it okay, and you're trying to warn others. I mean, what are the warning signs, Ashley? What, in the last minute of this discussion, what are the warning signs to a young girl listening to this show?
If something feels off, it probably is. And if people avoid your questions with trying to point blame at you or try to turn everything around on you, that's, in my opinion, the sign of a sociopath and manipulator, and to just get rid of them right away.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, there's an awful lot more to what you're saying than we can discuss in a few seconds here. This is a whole human life on the line here. Ashley, I'm sending you a beautiful book called Teddy and Me, because it's something delightful. I would send you Scorched Earth, but I think that you'd rather have something lighter to read over next weekend than The Horrors of the World if Hillary wins, I'll tell you the truth. She moved on. All right, well, look, I don't know. We'll keep it up for a little while. We got other women calling, a lot of men calling. I don't know what to take on this one. I mean, give you the latest news. WABC Jacob, line number 7, you're up on The Savage Nation.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Savage. First of all, I just wanted to say that God bless you for speaking about this subject, which is so important. And that's one of the reasons why I listen to you and listened to you for the past over 15 years, because you always speak about other subjects that are important, not just politics. But what I wanted to talk about is a similar subject. I mean, something along the same lines, which is the proliferation of highly sexual and highly violent shows on television and in the movies. And this has just been getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, what's going on is that, first of all, you know, it's just causing, you know, our kids are just being brought up on this garbage. And
you're 1,000% right. They're escalating the type of perversion, deviancy, and outright pornography on national shows. I see it all the time. They've made it look like the norm for, let's say, whatever you want to fill in the blank with, as offensive to an average human being who is not, let us say, deviant. And the violence level has never been at this peak. I've never seen anything like it. The sadomasochism, the beatings. And, of course, you know, you could say the hypocrisy of guys like Sean Penn, who campaign against guns while in virtually every movie he's ever been in that I've seen. He has a gun and he's beating somebody or knifing them with something. Or the guys who fly around on the private jets with the hookers and then talk about global warming. I mean, the whole thing's a scam. So, in essence, without complaining about it, would you welcome a form of censorship?
I don't know if, yes, it would have to be, you know, discussed, but yes, and this is what it brings me, you mentioned President Obama, Barack Obama earlier, and I just wanted to say this is what made me call your show, because there's a show on, I think it's HBO or one of those stations called Game of Thrones, which is basically softcore pornography, and I was very shocked that I heard Obama praising the show. You know, and he said it was his favorite show or something like that. And, you know, you never would have heard someone like George Bush, George W. Bush, or any, you know, praising a show.
Well,
like
it raises another question. Today's show raises yet another show, which is, should we have censorship in movies again? Because we've reached the point of no return. The sewer pipe of Hollywood is now disseminating its vile filth into the minds of every man and woman on the planet, except the most religious, who do not permit the sewer pipe of Hollywood to penetrate their children's minds. And by the way, and I've said this before, and I thank you for calling, and I'll say it again and again and again and again. Nobody seems to hear me. Much of the conflict, or the clash of civilizations, so to speak, between our open, tolerant, wild and free Western society and the more fundamentalist societies on earth, namely the Muslim societies, is really a clash of the type I am talking about right now. No, it's not about the Arab-Israeli situation. It's really about they don't want pornography destroying their young boys and their young girls. And that's something that we need to talk about. We live in a filthy, dirty sewer of a nation on a social level. The filth and the dirt is accepted as the norm. Should it be? Think about it and get back to me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Yes, that brings up another question. Where are the vice squads of today? I mean, we're talking about smut. Old word, smut, but it has a certain ring to it, doesn't it? Smut. Say pornography, it almost sounds like an art form. No, we're talking about smut. Porn, porno, dirty videos. Talking about smut. Where are the vice squads of today? They don't investigate pornography. The pornography industry is owned by large corporations. You go to the Marriott hotel chain, for example, amongst others. You can buy porn and smut, $7.95, whatever it costs. They make a pretty penny off it, right? So it's everywhere you turn. Who runs it? I don't know. Who runs the trunk lines on those things? Or the what do you call it? Whatever it is. Who transmits it? Who owns the broadband that transmits pornography? Which corporations own it? They're making fortunes on it. So you're telling me they're not lobbying senators to make sure there's no discussion of pornography or no discussion of clamping down on the feet of the smut? And it brings me to the vice squads, like in the 50s when I was a child. A vice squad, we knew what a vice squad did. A vice squad stopped hookers, for example, from plying their trade. A vice squad arrested drug peddlers. A vice squad did a lot of things. What does a vice squad do today? Are there any? I don't even know if there are any vice squads. Occasionally I see a TV show. I guess they arrest Johns, customers for prostitutes. That's about all I think they're allowed to do today is go after the Johns. Now you look at the crime, the crimes in Washington, crimes which consist of destroying nations, blowing up villages, blowing up nations, killing people in the name of freedom, and you ask yourself, what is the real pornography here? And then you come down to the election again. And I really have to say it, you know, you ask yourself, compare Clinton, knowing that she can be bought virtually for anything you want. You want access to Hillary, you go to the Clinton Foundation through Huma Abedin, according to what we're reading. You look at one candidate of the two who was talking about the drug epidemic, not her. Has she mentioned the drug epidemic? Yes, she has. She said, we'll give them treatment, didn't she? Because there's billions of dollars to be made by her medical gangster friends in the treatment business. She doesn't want the epidemic of drugs stopped. She wants it treated, which means she wants more drug epidemic. More of a drug epidemic, in my estimation. Again, it's a continuation of Medicare, Obamacare. Trillions of dollars in health care fraud. It will increase with more treatment. And there's only one way to stop the scourge, which is stop the flood of drugs. So only one candidate's talking about it. Trump. He said, build that wall. Now do you understand why the entire media and government is against him? No, try to put two and two together. I frankly worry about his safety when I hear things like this. I worry about him. But for me, it's only one candidate for a number of reasons. If it breaks down just to this issue of curtailing the flow of drugs, there's no question in my mind who will do it and who won't do it. That's all. So you'll make up your own mind. No matter what we say on radio, you're still going to make up your own mind. So today we're talking about porn or smut. That's it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The newly released series of emails that show Clinton did pay-for-play favors for foundation donors through her top aide, the Iranian stealth agent Huma Abedin. Newly released trove of emails from Hillary Clinton's top aide Huma Abedin shows she repeatedly did favors for high-dollar contributors to the Clinton Foundation, including a foreign national with a criminal record that made her nervous. In fact, this guy was so corrupt that even the questionable Barbara Boxer refused to intervene. Did you hear this? Even Barbara the Bagel Boxer wouldn't touch this request to gain access to Hillary Clinton. I was shocked to read this. Wasserman was informed that Senator Barbara Boxer, D. California, declined to help of the pending criminal matter, so did Senator Sherrod Brown, the Ohio. But they went to someone else who got access to Hillary Clinton, the corruption of Hillary Clinton. We all know it. It's a given. We know she's corrupt. We know she should be arrested. We know that she should have been indicted. We know she should step down. We know all of that. We know Obama should have been in prison a year ago for violating the Constitution. But, well, how many times can you say the same thing? How could Hillary Clinton be so numbed out to not know that the whole world knows how corrupt her foundation is? How could she not know that? Isn't she numbed on something? Is that why she's stumbling? I'm wondering. So she's in excellent health, even though she's stumbling and falling and needs pillows to hold her up. The foundation is a RICO, obviously. And all you hear about is that Trump did this, Trump did that. That's why I don't want to talk about it. I think that watching Hillary Clinton get away with what she's getting away with and watching Obama get away with what he gets away with, including not going to the flooded Louisiana saying he's too busy, is equivalent to pornography. That anybody who watches Obama lie as he does so glibly, it's equivalent to pornography. It's sort of a pornographic event. It's a pornography of the truth. Let's put it to you that way. And let me tell you something else. Any rational person understands that her health should be assessed by an impartial panel of physicians, and so should Donald Trump's health, by the way. Everyone running for the presidency in the final stretch should be subjected to an impartial panel of physicians, where a full battery of tests are released to the public. I don't want to hear any nonsense about, well, we can't release it because of privacy concerns. That's nonsense. We don't want a sick person in the White House. We don't want a drug addict in the White House. And we have a right to know who we're electing. So I believe, and I'm not alone, that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump must be assessed by an impartial panel of physicians. And I'm not alone on this. There is a doctor with the highest of credentials, top doctor, Rutgers University professor of medicine, Bob Lahida, says that concerns over Hillary Clinton's health are not a conspiracy theory, that Clinton should be assessed by an impartial panel of physicians. He is very worried. He said, suffering two blood clots, a stroke, and post-concussive syndrome, causing Hillary to have to wear special prism glasses. Do you understand that if she gets sick in office, who's going to run the country? It will be Bill Clinton. Do you understand this could be a stealth campaign by Bill Clinton to be president again, to get around the restrictions on no more than two terms? Do you get this? Now, if you want someone who's running a RICO organization, because Giuliani, I don't know of anyone listening to this show who wouldn't agree with this statement, that under New York's Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, New York was a safer, cleaner city. Raise your hand if you disagree with that. Compare it to what's going on in New York City right now under the communist, psychotic, corrupt boss Tweed running the city right now. Giuliani cleaned up the city. Giuliani got the bums off the streets, the drug addicts, the sickos, the crime was down. It was a cleaner city. Giuliani said the following on Fox News today. He said the Clinton found, well, wait a minute, hold it now. Listen to Rudy Giuliani in his own words in clip three.
She is the consummate corrupt Washington insider, and she is thoroughly corrupt, and so is the Clinton Foundation. If I were back in my old job as U.S. attorney, I would probably indict the Clinton Foundation as a racketeering enterprise.
Wow.
They took money from money launderers, criminals, dictators, people who abuse women as a matter of government policy. She did favors for those very people who gave money to the Clinton Foundation.
This is a man that everyone in America knows is a reputable, honorable man. And if you look at this career criminal family foundation, and you look at her health problems, and you remember that back in the old days, Woodrow Wilson's wife had to run the White House because he was sick. There are a lot of things that need to be talked about before we go to the polls. I want you to try to keep a few things in mind. It's very important for those of you who are undecided because of the around-the-clock propaganda by Joseph Goebbels, Blitzer, and the others in the media. Joseph Goebbels, Blitzer, Joseph Goebbels, Tapper, Joseph Goebbels, Stephanopoulos would have you believe that the election is already over and Trump is worse than Hitler. But keep this in mind. Donald Trump did not steal your money and run the debt up to what it is right now. Donald Trump did not raise your taxes. Donald Trump did not quadruple the price of food. Trump is not stirring a race war. Trump did not leave U.S. soldiers in Benghazi to be slaughtered and desecrated by filthy Muslims. Trump did not send the U.S. Navy to fight for Syrian al-Qaeda. Trump did not arm ISIS and systematically exterminate Christians throughout the Middle East. Trump did not betray Israel. Trump did not provide financing and technology to Iran's nuclear weapons program. Trump did not give our military secrets to China. Trump did not remove our nuclear missile shield in Poland at the behest of Russia. Trump did not shrivel our military and betray our veterans. Trump did not cripple our economy. Trump did not increase our debt to $20 trillion. Trump did not ruin our credit twice. Trump did not double African-American unemployment. Trump did not increase welfare to a record level for 8 years. Trump did not sign a law making it legal to execute and imprison Americans. Trump did not set free all of terrorists in Guantanamo Bay. Trump did not steal your rights, violate U.S. constitutional law, or commit treason hundreds of times. And yet, Joseph Goebbels, Blitzer, Joseph Goebbels, Tapper, Joseph Goebbels, ABC, CBS, NBC, call him worse than Hitler nonstop. It is Barack Hussein Obama, the liar and thief. It is Hillary, Clinton, and the established con men who have illegally occupied our government and stolen our government from us, not the Republican establishment. The government media complex is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat Party. Save our borders, language, and culture. And if you think that you want to hear what I just said to you all over again, and you want to get it down clearly, yeah, that's right. It's all in my masterpiece, Scorched Earth, which, yes, you can buy right now on Amazon or buy in bookstores a week after Labor Day. This is it, my friends. It's down to the wire. Are we one bad election from losing everything? Is America not becoming a third world nation of terror, riots, mobs, and chaos? Has our Constitution not been trampled by a divisive, lying president? Have progressive policies and open borders not flooded America with drugs and poisoned America with diseases like Zika? Can the nation recover from Obama's scorched earth policies? Yes, only if one man wins, and his name is Donald Trump. Read all about it in Scorched Earth. Donald Trump is surging in the polls. It's a neck-to-neck race, and I'm not so sure he's finished. I see signs in areas that are not normally, let's say people don't look at all the areas I look at. I'll give you an example. There's an obscure sailing magazine here in the San Francisco area called Latitude 38. I haven't read it in years. I picked one up at a boat store. It's a giveaway. And they have a section where sailors go around the world and write their little reports of what's going on where they're sailing. And you kind of read it and you daydream that you're on that trip because sailing is a great adventure. And everyone at some point in their life dreams of getting away from it all, and these people do. And crossing an ocean in a sailboat is a major, major deal, even in this day and age. With all of the advanced technology, it's still a major league heroic effort. So this is a very liberal Bay Area thing. It's a very liberal magazine, I would guess. Most of them are very liberal. But the thing about most ocean sailors is they're probably more libertarian than liberal. They're extremely rugged individualists. And I see an article about a guy whose head was cut off on one of his trips. And I couldn't believe it. And they're talking about Sharia law in here. They went to an area where there is fundamentalist Islam. And it's in Indonesia. And it says, in this month's changes from Tom Van Dyke of his boat and point, it was noted that semi-autonomous Banda Aceh, known for fundamental Islam, is the only province in Indonesia that is allowed to use Sharia law. Sharia prohibits things such as homosexuality, adultery, alcohol, women straddling motorcycles, and so forth. Initially, Sharia was only applied to members of the Muslim faith. But a bylaw was passed last year that allows Sharia to be enforced on members of all faith. Just like in America with the Council on American Islamic Retrobates, they're telling us that they're never going to, you know, impose it on anyone else. Remember what they really want to do. They want to cut your head off. They want to turn you into one of their robotic 15th century prisoners. So I'll go on with what happened to this poor sailor. He was kidnapped by these in the southern Philippines. Another one was killed. Now here's another in Indonesia. And they quote, now, the fact is that Muslims in Aceh do tolerate religious freedom, said the official press release from the Muslims who took over. We coexist without any problems, said Tengu Faisal Ali, head of the provincial chapter of the influential Muslim organization at the time the bylaw was passed. He went on with his lie. He said, we don't want to raise the impression that Islamic law in Aceh fringes on the rights of non-Muslims. It doesn't force Sharia law on non-Muslims because they're free to observe their own faiths and beliefs. Close quote. So then the liberal sailing magazine entry says, oh yeah, on April 13th, a 60-year-old Christian woman was caned 30 times before hundreds of Muslim onlookers for the, quote, crime of selling alcohol in that town. It was the first time that Sharia law had been imposed on a non-Muslim in Indonesia. Then they go on. On the same day she was caned, a Muslim couple accused of adultery received 100 lashes. Two Germans caught wearing skimpy bathing suits got away with stern warnings. And then it goes on. And they talk about people being beheaded as a result of falling into the hands of the Muslims in these throwback quarters of the earth. So when you hear from people in America who tell you that Sharia law is not dangerous, understand it's very dangerous. And now that leads us to what I'm getting at, which is that if I'm seeing such a report about the dangers of Muslims and Sharia law in Indonesia in a liberal sailing magazine, I have a feeling that all is not lost to defeat the corrupt criminal Hillary Clinton who belongs in prison. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, here we go into the last few minutes of the Savage Nation. We've been talking about should the Clinton Foundation be shut down under RICO, as Mr. Giuliani is suggesting. How has pornography ruined your life? Should Clinton's health be assessed by a panel of doctors? We haven't touched on should Anthony Fauci of the NIH be indicted for lying to the American public about Zika and permitting individuals from Honduras and other countries where Zika is prevalent into this nation, thereby spreading an infectious disease. A man is in charge of epidemiology in America, and he brings people in with a disease. And the goofy golfer, the goofy golfer, the man who can do no wrong because of Goebbels, Stephanopoulos, because of Goebbels, Blitzer, because of Goebbels. I get a satisfaction out of saying it. It gives me a certain visceral thrill to call them Goebbels because that's what they are. And if you don't, if you find it offensive because of the relationships to the Third Reich, then just say I'm calling them Goebbels. It'll be less of a loaded statement. But on the issue of pornography and how it's ruined lives, let's hear from Charlotte on WFTL Line 4. Charlotte, go ahead, please.
Hi. My marriage was destroyed by pornography, and we really liked each other. And come to find out, as we were going for adding up, and we've been in marriage counseling, and my husband at the time saying, you know, you're not keeping the house clean, you're not this. And come to find out, he was heavily involved in pornography, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it. And I really did a lot of research on it. And pornography affects a male's brain differently than it does a woman's brain. We're not visual like guys. Guys can look at body parts and get turned on. Women have to have a story. We've got to be touched. We have to have the right lighting. Guys are like, hey, I'm in.
So women are better directors than men. Let's say women deal with sexuality and color in 3D. Men are like black and white in 2D.
They're 3D. You don't have to see the whole thing. You can just see one piece of a body and be okay with it. Women have to see the whole thing. But besides that, what I learned is that when men watch...
Unfortunately, you're breaking up. I wish I could hear the woman. I wish that you had told me this. Let's go to another. Karina, you have the last word. Give it to us in a minute or less on the Savage Nation.
Wow. Hi, Doctor. In a quick format, personally, pornography has just completely destroyed my life. It's sabotaged three engagements that I had. And one in particular, like Mr. Jeremy Lanning was talking to you about, was I walked in on one of my fiancés doing it with a doll in front of pornography. Just walked in on it. And I just said, what is going on? And he was just like, well...
What did he say? Who are you going to believe, the doll or yourself? Is that what he said?
No. Right.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to make light of a very terrible situation, but at least you dumped the creep, huh?
Well,
Trina, we're just flat out of time. I don't think I'll be doing this topic again until after the election, but I'm doing it today because it's an important topic because it relates to the election. Family values. Who do you think is more likely to clamp down on drugs and pornography? Think about that very carefully before you vote if you're a family-oriented individual. Hillary said she will treat drug addiction. Trump said he'll build a wall and stop the flow of drugs. See, there's a lot of money in treatment, isn't there? Yeah. That's it for the Savage Nation.